The Nick Handley Show.
Dadgummit. I just spilled corn over the hood of the combine. Time to shut her down and unload. Not paying attention.
AM 590.
Yes, this is not a theme song for the Iowa State Cyclones or Oklahoma or anybody in college football. It's the Theme Music Friday involving Queen, and this is one of the great ones. And TJ was educated today. Did not realize that this was David Bowie and Queen. Now, did you at least know it was David Bowie? You didn't know that either?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Who'd you think it was? You thought this was Vanilla Ice's hook the whole time, didn't you?
I thought it was actually a one-hit wonder.
Oh, okay. So you just didn't know. I got you. That's fair. Oh, some good college football games tomorrow night. One of the primetime games that you can catch on Fox will be Iowa State. Coming off their bye week, taking on the Oklahoma Sooners. And with more on the Cyclones, our friend Jared Stansberry of CycloneFanatic.com. Jared, how you feeling going into this game after the Cyclones come off the bye week?
I could make a joke about under pressure right here, but I'll
you
just,
can. It's the floor is open.
Yeah, no, I'll just let it go. But I definitely think that I think Iowa State's obviously, I think the Iowa State football team probably will be feeling some pressure tomorrow night going into Norman in a big game. You know, if you want to be able to win the Big 12, and then this is going to be a big game for both of these teams. And I think it's going to be a really good football game, and I think it's very fitting that it'll be played under the lights on national television. And I think two offenses that can put points on the board, and Iowa State's defense has obviously been rock solid, and I think Oklahoma, they've got some questions answered on that side of the ball now after getting punched in the mouth a little bit against Kansas State. But you know that coming off of a bye week, both of them are going to be ready to get back out there on the field.
Well, and if we're using under pressure as kind of the buzzword there too, you mentioned Oklahoma. They came off of that loss to Kansas State. And then you see the college football playoff rankings where the Pac-12 is getting some love. Oklahoma has some proving to do if they want to climb up there too. Do you think that that kind of changes this game in any sense at all?
Yeah, I think that it does. I just have a hard time thinking that Oklahoma is going to be able to climb back up there. I mean, and I could be wrong, and I think that they would need some help probably to get back up into that top four. Just because you think, obviously they've done it before, where you lose a game and you're able to, the last 2 years you lose a game, you're able to bounce back and then still make the playoff. But if you think about the last 2 years when Oklahoma's been able to do that, 2 years ago, obviously they lose to Iowa State. That was the first week in October, and you had a lot of games left to prove how good of a team you were. And and then last year, even against Texas, I think they had 6 games left in the season. Now it's like your back is completely against the wall, where if you better come out and play your best football and put up some style points if you're going to be able to climb back up into that top four. So I think that this is a huge game for Oklahoma, and I don't think that this Oklahoma team is quite on that same level as these last two teams were either. And I know that they've got a lot of good players. Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. CeeDee Lamb is one of the best players in college football. But I just the last 2 years when you had Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield at the quarterback spots, it felt like every time that they touched the ball, they were going to go and score. And it just doesn't – I don't get that same feeling from this year's Oklahoma team. And, I think that obviously bodes well for Iowa State, but – I'm sure that Oklahoma will definitely be coming back in focused because they can't sleep on anybody at this point.
Jared, you mentioned the Iowa State defense. That's something that has, kind of been sort of the backbone of the Matt Campbell teams in this year. And Oklahoma is also showing a little bit of return to a defensive presence in the Big 12. As you mentioned, they get kind of, I don't know if I want to say exposed, but they got beat up by Kansas State. When you think of Brock Purdy and just what he has been able to kind of take in his college football experience and sort of now not being that forgotten guy, being squarely on everybody's radar, what kind of a challenge do you think that's going to be for him tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is, I honestly think this is the perfect game for Iowa State to get back to being who they want to be. You know, in that game against Oklahoma State, I don't think we saw Iowa State play the way that they want to play. Throwing the ball 60 times is not going to be a formula for success for Iowa State football very often. And, you know, obviously with Kansas State, you know, in that game against Oklahoma, Kansas State doesn't do much but run the football. Mm-hmm. And I think that you saw when Oklahoma gets in a position where somebody comes out and they say, we're going to punch you in the mouth and we're going to come at you and we're going to run it right down your throat every single play. And we're going to do it until you stop us. And, you know, that's when you start to see Oklahoma kind of revert back to some of the problems that they had in the last several seasons. When you get a team that comes out and really challenges their toughness and really, you know, says, we're going to show that we're a bunch of tough son of a guns and you better raise to our level if you're going to beat us. And, you know, if Iowa State wants to play, if they play the way that they want to, I mean, Breece Hall, I think that this could be a big game for him. He's going to need to get 25 carries, I think. And you want to use Brock Purdy in that run game a little bit, I think, if you can. I wouldn't even be surprised to see Rial Mitchell out there a little bit and maybe some change-up type stuff with the quarterback run. I think there's a formula right now for how you can beat Oklahoma. And I think we even saw in that Texas game that they played where when Texas was committed to running the football, I mean, they were able to move the ball pretty well on Oklahoma. But when you got into positions where you had to step, drop back and throw, you let that defensive front really pin their ears back and you let Kenneth Murray get running sideline to sideline, you put yourself in some trouble. So I think that this is a game where Iowa State, like I said, they can get back to their identity and they can prove who they want to be.
Talking with Jared Stansberry, CycloneFanatic.com, as Iowa State will be in Norman, Oklahoma tomorrow night in a big-time matchup there. You mentioned the running ability for Iowa State in this one. I want to get your thoughts on the battle up front. If Iowa State wants to kind of control the tempo, if they want to sort of take a page out of the K-State playbook and kind of grind this thing down, what can you tell us about the offensive line versus that Oklahoma defensive front?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a solid matchup. And it's crazy to think, you know, 2 years ago when Iowa State went into Norman and won the game, the talent discrepancy between those two teams mm-hmm. was still so wide that, I mean, Iowa State won games that year on being, they were going to be tougher than you and they were going to do their job right every single time. And they were going to make you make mistakes and they weren't going to make mistakes. This year, I mean, I don't think 1 through 85 Iowa State and Oklahoma are on the same level, but I think you can go 1 through 30, 1 through 40. And that talent discrepancy isn't that wide. You know, Iowa State's team is a lot more talented than it has been probably in the history of the program. And, you know, I think that's especially true up front where you've got five guys now who you feel really good about. You know, four of them have a ton of experience, and the one guy who doesn't have a ton of experience might be the most talented offensive lineman in your room as a redshirt freshman. And I think he's going to have a really great career, probably go on and play in the NFL in the future, and Trevor Downing. And, So I think you got to feel good about that group. They continue to improve week after week. And I think getting an extra 7 days to, rest up, prepare and continue to try and keep getting better and bettering yourself. I think that really is going to, you know, benefit well for that group up front. And, but Oklahoma, obviously, you know, they've got dudes, you know, they're always going to have dudes. And, and it's just, it goes back to what I said. Can Iowa State go in there with the mentality that we're going to run it right down your throat, you know, and we're going to do it until you guys can stop us?
Do you make a lot out of the potential chess match between the coaches? I mean, these are two of the more highly regarded coaches, not only in the Big 12 Conference, but really in a short list of college football coaches that a lot of NFL teams have their eye on, both Campbell and Lincoln Riley. Has that been discussed a lot, just how they will try to sort of, you know, play that chess match and who might be able to kind of get that final blow on it?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously something that always comes up. And I think both of these coaches have a ton of respect for each other. I mean, you have to with what both of them have been able to do in their careers at both of them at young ages and relative to the rest of the coaching profession. And, I think that obviously Lincoln Riley might be as good as anybody in college football as far as coaching an offense and coaching quarterbacks and that kind of thing. You know, I think that Coach Campbell, I don't think he's a offensive genius or a defensive genius by any means. I think he's just one of those guys that's a really great coach of just all around, you know, being a leader of young men. And, you know, another interesting kind of storyline that I think is kind of cool is, you know, Coach Campbell was college teammates at Mountain Union in Ohio at the D3 level with Oklahoma defensive coordinator Alex Grinch. So just another, you know, kind of interesting side story, I think, with those two guys going head-to-head. And then Tom Manning was on those teams as well, Iowa State's offensive coordinator. So a bunch of Mountain Union guys coming back to go head-to-head in a huge game on the national landscape.
We know the quarterback on the other side of this thing, and Jalen Hurts, he's an impressive one. He's a guy that has got a lot of college football experience. You know, you think about a leader for that position, he's one of the better ones. Just if you're looking at Iowa State having success defensively against this team and against Jalen Hurts in that offense, who or who are the guys that are going to have to be on their game, the ones that you expect? If the Iowa State defense can neutralize this offense, it's going to be because of this guy or these guys?
I mean, I think that the defensive front is obviously going to be really important. I think you saw in that Texas game, you know, Texas's secondary is, to put it mildly, not good. And I think, they were still able to put Jalen Hurts in some positions where, you know, he was kind of throwing the ball up to CeeDee Lamb and letting the, you know, like I said, a guy that is as good as anybody in the country, go and pee is a guy that's as good as anybody in the country. And, you know, I think that if you can make him stand in the pocket and have to make reads and, you know, and not just kind of be able to freelance and running around, then I think that you can make him a little bit uncomfortable. So I would put that on the defensive front. And then another guy that Iowa State really, really needs, they need Greg Eisworth to be back to being Greg Eisworth. I mean, he's been banged up for close to a month now, you know, only played six plays in that game against Oklahoma State. Got hurt on the first touchdown that the Cowboys were able to go down and score. But I think that you're going to see him as healthy as he's been in quite a while. I think it'll be really good for him to, I mean, outside of six plays, basically get two full weeks off coming into this game in Norman. So I think we're going to see him probably be back closer to full strength. And if he is, then that definitely raises the ability of this Iowa State defense, you know, a lot, because he's the best player on the field. A lot of times when he's out there, and I mean, there's a reason he's one of the best defensive players in the league.
It'll be a great matchup tomorrow night out in Norman, Oklahoma. Oklahoma hosting Iowa State, 7 o'clock kickoff on Fox. Jared Stansberry, CycloneFanatic.com. Appreciate it, Jared. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Yep. Thanks, fellas.
Brock Purdy, I think, is going to be fun to watch in this one. There's something about this guy. From the time that he had significant playing time and sort of took everybody by surprise, you know, ask Mike Gundy about that. He said, yeah, we didn't really know too much about him. Now they know a lot about him. I feel like these types of moments, you know, there's kind of those John Wayne type quarterbacks, guys that are just gritty. They're just tough. And that's how I've kind of seen Brock Purdy in his short time at Iowa State. I mean, the guy's numbers are pretty solid. He's almost completing 70% of his passes. But he's just a tough dude. And I feel like if you got a reason to believe, well, first of all, Kansas State gave you a reason to believe that you could go and upset Oklahoma. Now, this is going to be an Oklahoma team. I think after the college football playoff rankings, they realize, okay, this is not looking very good. They need to start not only winning football games, but they got to look good in doing so, too. That creates that sense of urgency. So they're going to have somewhat of a desperate Oklahoma team, even though Oklahoma has the better record. It sounds kind of crazy saying that, but this is an Iowa State team that's going to get a major shot from Oklahoma. I'm telling you, though, I like the quarterback for Iowa State in that scenario. I think it's a good place for Iowa State to be, and we'll see how it kind of shakes out. I still think Oklahoma probably wins the game, but I think it could be one of the better games in the list of many good football matchups tomorrow. Going to talk about another good one between Wisconsin and Iowa. We'll do that with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com at 3:30. But coming up, I want to get back into the Big 12, the message that the college football playoff sent to the Big 12 compared to the Pac-12. We'll get into that next. A And be sure to log on to the MVP Club page at AM590ESPNRadio.com. Your chance to win $4,000 cash for Thanksgiving. Throw a huge celebration, score the best Black Friday deals, or get a head start on holiday gifts. Brought to you by Westfield Plastic Surgery Center, bringing out the best possible version of you. Keep yourself alive, TJ. Yes. This is in the movie, by the way. This is when Freddie makes his debut with the band. He's got issues with the microphone. Yeah. Have you seen it yet?
No.
No. Got it. It's a good one. If you like the Beatles movie, you'll like Bohemian Rhapsody. It's very, very good. So do you think... I want to get your thoughts on this too, TJ, because you watch some Big 12 football.
I do.
We saw the college football playoff ranking come out. We saw that Oklahoma with the one loss, not in very good standing now, all of a sudden. My question for you is, do you think Bob Boolsby is pissed off at Kansas State? I mean, they kind of threw a turd in the punch bowl here.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely made it tougher for some Big 12 team to get in, for sure.
Because, all right, here's how it goes if you're keeping track at home. Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, Penn State, those are the top four. After that, it's Clemson, Georgia. Then you get Oregon and Utah. And those two teams have a very good shot of running the table the rest of the way and then facing off in the Pac-12 championship game. So it's not like these two have a head-to-head before the Pac-12 championship game where one could essentially eliminate the other before that even happens. Then you get Oklahoma in there at 7-1. Then you get Baylor at 8-0 at number 12. And then Kansas State is at number 16. After that, Oklahoma State is the next team for the Big 12 at 23. So my question is, first of all, do you believe that Baylor can actually carry the conference and its best chance to get into the college football playoff? I don't believe that's the case. I'm curious if you do.
Yeah, no, I don't believe so either. I think they'll eventually lose and probably lose to at least Oklahoma. Yeah. I know they still haven't played them yet. But it is a great story. But I also think it just kind of hurts that they don't have like a national brand as much as like we don't want those things to affect like the way the committee looks at things. I think sometimes that bias is still there. Like, yeah, Oklahoma, that brand is so much stronger than Baylor's brand. And obviously Oregon and Utah are ahead of the highest Big 12 team, Oklahoma. So they're better standing, but Oklahoma has more teams in the top 25. So it just might not be in the cards this year for the Big 12. Because, Nick, when I rank the conferences right now, I'd have the SEC first, Big 10 second. And for me, I'd have ACC fifth. For me, when I rank them, depth is a big thing for me. So I'd still kind of have the Big 12 third ahead of the Pac-12 when it comes to my rankings. Now, if you want to switch the Pac-12, Big 12, that's fine with me. But it seems like the Pac-12 has the two better teams at the top right now, which are Oregon and Utah, like you mentioned, and they'll eventually meet, likely, in the Pac-12 championship.
So if you're wondering, Oklahoma plays at Baylor next weekend. So they get Iowa State tomorrow night, then they get Baylor. That matchup itself could actually happen twice. You know, we could see that in the Big 12 championship. And again, this is where I feel like it hurts Oklahoma, because I don't think there's a lot of stock into Baylor. Even if Baylor were to lose to Oklahoma, and then that would be it. I think that one loss to Oklahoma is going to really knock Baylor back, because I feel like they're as close to the top 10 as they are because they are undefeated. It has nothing to do with people being impressed by their schedule. Their non-conference slate, and this has always been a Baylor thing, is just bad. It is. So,
but they were bad for so long, they needed a schedule easy to get wins.
It makes sense. It does.
Yeah.
But this has always been a problem with them. Kansas State,
if they win out, Oklahoma could replay them in the Big 12 championship.
They could. That is possible.
To avenge their one loss, and that would be interesting.
And that would be, but again, if that were to happen, it'd be interesting to see where K-State would be in the college football playoff ranking, because I'll admit, I was surprised that Kansas State was as high as they were in the college football playoff. In fact, that was the only team out of the Big 12 that I thought, okay, they got a pretty solid nod from the committee because of that win they had against Oklahoma. But I feel like Kansas State, though, by beating Oklahoma, has really put panic into this conference. I think there is a lot of nervous people, Bob Boolsby included, that all of a sudden, okay, Oklahoma, first of all, they can't lose another game. nobody really believes that Baylor is going to run the table, and then they would be a viable candidate for the college football playoff. I mean, you're screwed. You really are. And I'm not saying I disagree with the Pac-12 having Oregon and Utah in front of them. I'm just saying, isn't it amazing? And one Saturday might have just completely sealed a conference's fate, because even the climb that Oklahoma has, you know, unfortunately, Iowa State's not ranked right now. So if they beat them tomorrow night, it'll be seen as a good win, but not as good as it could have been. They've got Baylor. That obviously, I mean, what if Baylor plays TCU this weekend? I am not ready to say Baylor's got this one. TCU could also have something to say about this. They could also kind of piggyback off K-State and kind of wreck things. I think this is potentially damaging for the Big 12 in trying to get a team at least knocking on the door for the college football playoff. 402-573-0590. Dodger Mark on a Friday. What's going on, Mark?
Gentlemen, quick thing. When you mentioned TCU, the kid from Lewis Central, Max Duggan, is doing a nice job for them.
Yes, he is.
You know, and he's so firmly entrenched himself that they've had two guys transfer out of the program just the last couple of weeks.
Kind of cool to see that, yeah.
It is. You're going to see a four-year guy from our area, and that's pretty neat. One of the things, you know, I'm not a huge award guy, but I got to think this year, it might be one of the better Heisman races that literally could all be decided tomorrow. Tomorrow, you got all three of them in pivotal games. And if Burrow was to, if they were to beat Alabama, I think it's his to lose at that point. Conversely, if Tua wins, they won't discount and hurt him with the injury issue, because he's just been spectacular. And then if Hurt has a monstrous game and those two other guys flounder, you could have one of those years where you have a rare vote with three people. You might actually, it'd be fun to go into a Heisman weekend and not be 100% sure who's going to win the thing.
Well, and with the, it was a long shot to begin with, but everybody hoping for Chase Young for Ohio State to possibly be in there like Ndamukong Suh was. Well, he's suspended, so that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, he took himself out of it. I also have always thought that that award is just too rigged to have a potential for a defensive guy to get it. Too bad there's not more bluster that goes with the defensive awards if they were to award him on the same stage, but the Heisman kind of rules that with the committee and all that kind of thing. But really good, solid football weekend for entertaining games. Should be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Enjoy it, Mark. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, boys. Bye-bye.
The Chase Young part of it, this is what I would say for defensive players in this era of college football. If you're even invited to New York, I feel like you've already won. I mean, you're not going to get the Heisman Trophy. Anybody who thought Chase Young was going to get it, you're crazy. And Ndamukong Suh, as far as the most dominant player in college football, quarterback, running back, any position, Ndamukong Suh was. And I'm not even saying, oh, he was robbed. I mean, this is what the Heisman Trophy is. It's an offensive award. It's mainly a quarterback award. And what Mark brought up, too, about Jalen Hurts, if he were to have a big game tomorrow night and kind of carry Oklahoma at least close to the college football playoff discussion, where at least they win a Big 12 title, are you telling me you wouldn't feel good for that guy? Because I would. I have been singing his praises ever since early last year when that four games came and went. No more Kelly Bryant at Clemson. Everybody's thinking, oh, Jalen Hurts, he can save another year of eligibility if he leaves. Tua Tagovailoa is the guy. They're never turning back, even though Nick Saban was using him in games. I felt like he was using him to try to keep him there. But Jalen Hurts, he never flinched, man. He stuck with it. They needed him in the SEC championship game. He was there for his team. He ended up beating the team in the SEC championship. So you get that part of it, that part of the equation there. He's likable. It's easy to root for him. So, yeah, I would love to see Jalen Hurts have something to say about this. But, yeah, as Mark said, there's some big stages for these guys tomorrow. And, unfortunately, Chase Young will not be a part of that with that suspension. All right, going to talk about the Big Ten matchup at 3 o'clock between Wisconsin and Iowa. Our friend Rob Howell of HawkeyeNation.com joins me next. Can we just let Killer Queen play for a while? That's a good one. Theme Music Friday's got a Queen feel to it. shoot out your selections to our producer, TJ, who's the DJ today. All right, fun day of college football tomorrow. So you got the bye week going on for Nebraska fans. You don't got to worry about it. You got so much good college football. And one of those Big Ten heavyweight matchups at 3 o'clock out at Madtown, Camp Randall, Wisconsin hosting Iowa. It's the Hawkeyes coming in. Rob Howe joining me from HawkeyeNation.com. And, you know, there's something about these matchups. We were talking about this earlier, Rob, where you've got Penn State and Minnesota, and then you got Wisconsin taking on Iowa. All four teams got a bye going into these matchups. It's like we knew that these things would have some meaning. I don't know. I'm not sure if the Big Ten was just very, very good about forecasting this or it just worked out that way. But needless to say, two physical teams tomorrow in the game you'll be watching. They're rested, and that's probably a good thing.
Yes, and it was interesting this week, Nick. We were talking to Kirk Ferentz, I believe, on Tuesday, and they really took it light last week. Everybody got off their feet. They took, you know, they really rested the starters and the guys in the two deep. And then they got back at it this week and went full pads and hard contact and tried to get ready for this weekend. So it was interesting because Kirk said, had that been towards the end of the season, they probably wouldn't have approached it that way. But the way it fell this year, having that week of rest and then being able to go full bore this week, it's kind of an interesting setup.
The big question around the Big Ten and this matchup and college football fans, Iowa fans, Wisconsin fans watching this, I'm sure, is what will Iowa do against this Wisconsin defense? Because, Rob, it just seems like that's where the Hawkeyes have had some of their issues.
Yeah, I agree, Nick, and that's kind of the, you know, you look at Iowa's team right now, and I think you could make a serious case that it's one of the best defenses in the league, and if not in the country, and it still has two losses. And that comes down to just not getting things figured out on the offensive side of the football. And Wisconsin's defense, Wisconsin's 3-4 with active linebackers, has really puzzled Iowa since Wisconsin switched to that in 2013. Iowa just hasn't been able to figure it out. And like we said, they've had 2 weeks now to kind of sit down and study this thing. And I'm really intrigued to see if they'll be able to put something together. But I think it would be silly to think that Iowa's going to go up there and score, you know, 28, 31 points. They've got to get this thing probably in the 21 to 24 range, I think, though, to be able to come away with a win.
Well, and I think a lot of people assume that Wisconsin, they're going to be a ticked off group, and they've got something to say about being in the Big Ten West and getting over not only Iowa, but also Minnesota. But do you take anything away from what Ohio State or even Illinois were able to do offensively against this Wisconsin team?
Yeah, Nick, in talking to the Iowa defenders this week, they weren't bashful at all about giving away the game plan, and maybe they're blowing smoke at us and it's a smoke screen, but they said they watched the Ohio State and Illinois games, and Illinois and Ohio State just sold out to the run. They were not going to let Jonathan Taylor beat them, and they put extra guys in the box, run blitz, did things to take him away, to force Jack Cohen and the Wisconsin passing game to beat them, and they weren't able to do that. Wisconsin was not able to do that. So I think it would be probably smart for Iowa to do something similar. I don't know if you can just sell out completely on the run, because there are dangerous receivers in, you know, Cephas and Davis, Kendrick Pryor, A.J. Taylor, and then the tight end Ferguson is really good too. So I don't think you can completely sell out on the run, but I think that's where your attention has to be. You can't let Jonathan Taylor beat you.
I was so surprised. The amount of the game that I actually saw between Wisconsin and Illinois, Rob, was the big plays that Illinois was able to consistently get. And they were doing that with, I mean, what is still kind of a banged up side of the football for Illinois in that offense. I know that the offensive systems are different between Illinois and Iowa, but I felt like they showed you can still have some big plays against this defense. And is that where you do kind of put some stock into the experience of Nate Stanley in a game like this?
Yeah, it's kind of it's an interesting situation, Nick, because Nate just hasn't played well on the road in the Big Ten in the big games. It's just he hasn't. And a lot of the focus this week has been on him and how he'll perform in this game. And I think he has to make some plays. The question is, in Iowa's two losses to Michigan and Penn State, they gave up 10 sacks. And they've had some problems protecting him this year. Mm-hmm. And will Iowa's offensive line give Nate Stanley and the offense time to take some of those shots down the field? That's another question. We're going to have to wait to see if how it's answered on Saturday in Madison.
Talking with Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com. It's Iowa-Wisconsin tomorrow at 3 o'clock, a huge Big Ten West clash there. You know, if you do look at some of the intangibles, and I swear this game always seems like it's going to be a 10-7, 13-7 type affair. It's never the fun thing or sexy thing to talk about, but let's get into the special teams of this one, too. I mean, is that an area that you think could have a big effect tomorrow?
Certainly. I certainly think the return game and, you know, the Wisconsin has not – they've had some struggles with the kicking game. I think their kicker's name escapes me. I apologize for that. But I think he's missed 4 field goals this year. Keith Duncan for Iowa has missed 1. He's one of the better field goal kickers in the country statistically. He's a Lou Groza Award semifinalist. I think Iowa may have an edge there. Iowa's punter's been more consistent, and Iowa has a little bit more explosiveness in the return game. So that could be an area where Iowa maybe gets a little bit of an edge. We saw last year, Nick, in Iowa City, that was a tight game that came down to the end. Iowa turned the ball over 3 times in that game. Wisconsin did not turn it over, and 2 of those turnovers for Iowa came on special teams. They had a player run into a punt, back into a punt that Wisconsin recovered, and then they had a fumble on a punt return. So those are the type of things that Iowa can't do if it hopes to pull off the upset tomorrow.
Well, and I want to go back to Nate Stanley, too, and just the overall inconsistency in the running game. I always feel like he's that type of quarterback. He's got the big arm, and he can be very accurate, but the ability in play action and even possibly some bootleg-type action for him, has that kind of been a big issue with not being able to establish that, where it's maybe limited him a little bit? And does that have an opportunity with the extra time to prepare that maybe they are able to kind of get that part of this going?
Yeah, I would say that's a great point, Nick. They have not been able to run the football consistently this year. Actually, they haven't been able to run it consistently the last 2 years since Akram Wadley left. And that's been a part of the issue. It's allowed teams to kind of pin their ears back and go after him. It puts Iowa oftentimes in second and third and long. And we all know that that makes it that much more difficult with the defenses that you face in this conference. And Iowa needs to establish some type of running game tomorrow. And hopefully for them, they've been able to figure out or maybe see some things on film the last 2 weeks that opens things up. I think they would benefit from maybe having the true freshman in there, Tyler Goodson.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most explosive back that they have. He's a really good receiver out of the backfield. It's just Kirk is an old school guy, and I think he's going to, they've said it and they've done it. So I have no reason to not believe them. They've used the 3 running back rotation. And for the last 2 years, Nick, I think we have a big enough sample size now to wonder if that's a problem with getting one guy into a rhythm when you're rotating 3 guys for 2 years.
Well, and I know Brian Ferentz has maybe been criticized a little bit, but my question for you, you watch this team more than I do. Is it the fact that maybe they don't have the overall quality of play at the offensive line where they're unable to establish it as consistently, or is it just more of an execution standpoint where holes are there, guys aren't hitting them? You know, what's kind of been the problem to this point?
That is the age-old question right now in Iowa City. That's one that's got everybody scratching their head. You'll have people that will say it's the zone blocking scheme, that Iowa had some injuries on the offensive line this year. It's about continuity and chemistry when you run that zone blocking, and it hasn't been there. Teams have figured out the zone blocking, Wisconsin in particular. Whereas Wisconsin on the offensive line is hat on hat, Iowa needs more of that, almost like a dance routine with guys moving in the same direction and doing the same thing. If you watch the Michigan game, Iowa had 2 guys blocked at times, or 1 guy blocked with 2 offensive linemen at times, and people running free. They've really had trouble, I think, it's not going out on a limb. At offensive guard this year, that's where the struggles have been. And then you also have a redshirt freshman at center. Inexperience and inconsistency in those interior offensive line spots have really been one of the glaring weaknesses of this team this year.
And lastly, injury-wise, how is Iowa going into this one after the week off?
Well, they get Kyler Schott back, who showed some nice play at right guard earlier in the season, but he's been out since the Iowa State game. I'm not sure how much how much of a rhythm he's going to be in coming back after missing five games, but he is probably an upgrade on that right guard spot. They will be most likely without tight end Nate Weeding, who's hasn't done a lot in the passing game, but is an excellent blocker and is a guy who's a fifth-year senior that really knows what the offense is doing. So that's kind of a loss. And then Christian Wells, the starting middle linebacker, who's from Wisconsin, he's been dealing with a stinger, and it doesn't look like he's going to be able to go. So they're probably going to go with either a redshirt freshman or a true freshman at middle linebacker. That's also a kind of a thing to keep an eye on tomorrow if Wisconsin picks on that, and it wouldn't surprise me if it did.
Well, Rob, I'm trying to locate here the over-under, but I always feel like no matter what it's set at tomorrow, with these two teams, you always take the under. Is that the safe bet?
Yeah, we've got the legalized sports gambling in Iowa, and that's what I've been on this week, Nick. Don't take a side. Take the under in this one. I think it's 37 or 38. I feel pretty comfortable taking that number under, which means it'll probably go over.
Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com. Rob, enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, 38.5 is what I'm seeing. I would – and TJ, are you taking the over or the under? If I'm saying, all right, TJ, go win yourself some dough. Over or under? It looks like weather's supposed to be okay, 41 degrees. Some sunshine.
That one's so tough. I think it'd be a stay away, but if I had to play it, I mean, we all expect
a
low-scoring game.
So maybe Scotty's a 9-point favorite in that one, too.
I know. I can't believe it opened as a 5.5.
Yeah.
Gosh, I would just take the over because I think it's going to zag when everyone's going to zig.
You think it's going to open up?
Yep.
Now, who's it opening up for, TJ? You think
I kind of like Iowa in this one.
Oh, you do? Okay. I was like, I thought maybe you're going JT going to have a big day. He could. Yeah, the Iowa thing, and we'll get into this here coming up because we got a lot of good college football games to get your attention to, including this one. But my biggest concern is I don't know exactly what Rob was talking about. Like, are you too set in your ways offensively, where most times predictable Iowa is just fine because they've got the guys up front and they've got a reliable running game? But last 2 years, we have not seen that with them. Do you have to throw a little bit more at a defense, especially one that, hey, we saw it against Illinois, which was crazy. Ohio State again. Ohio State is very, very good, and they got athletes everywhere. But Illinois was able to get the big play on that Wisconsin defense more than a handful of times. Do you take certain things from those overall game plans and say, we can do this, we have those guys to do it? Because I will still say this about Iowa. I like who they have a quarterback. Just have not been able to run the football. And when you can't do that with this Iowa team, it sets everything off course. So we'll take a look at the college football weekend. So many good games, what we'll be watching for. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, you may not have known this, but Nebraska could actually still win the Big Ten West. I know. It's just one of those things. Oh, stop that. No, they could technically, but I mean, it, just because it's Friday, it's a bye week, we know it ain't going to happen. But what are those scenarios that exist? Well, we'll get into that in the 4 o'clock hour. Also, Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports will take a look at our weekend sports wagering. That is all just around the corner. Did somebody request this song? No? Okay. It's a good one. All right, so no Husker game tomorrow. Great way to start the day, college football. Just take a look at the games with their start times and where you should be tomorrow. I don't want to say the Ohio State-Maryland game is going to be entertaining, but TJ, it's 43.5 points that Ohio State is favored at the Horseshoe. With Chase Young out, would that make you somewhat tempted to take Maryland, crab cakes and football, and those points that come with it? 43.5 big ones.
It does make me tempted, but then I think easily, man, Ohio State can easily get 55. I don't even know Maryland can get to 11.
That's true.
If it's like 55-11, it's 44.
That's
right there.
True.
So
that's true.
I was tempted for a brief moment because, no Chase Young, but I was like, oh, just think. Like, Ohio State's only lost one game all year against the spread. they are blowing teams out.
And I think the same thing I said about Oklahoma, that they know they have to look impressive because of where they are in the college football playoff. I, you know, it's only the first set of rankings. But I also think with Ohio State, okay, they're number one. They've got the bullseye. They are the team in college football right now. So there's a little bit of pride there. I think I don't feel like, and Ryan Day probably doesn't advertise this or at least show it as much as Urban Meyer did. But I think Ryan Day understands. You know, there's always, if you have that opportunity to get some style points, you do it. And Maryland's just not good. So I feel like Vegas is begging you to put some money on Maryland. Like, that's a lot of points there.
I mean, how many points is it going to be next week when they take on Rutgers? 56?
Jeez. Could be.
Could it get to 60?
I mean, maybe Rutgers will already have a deal in principle with Greg Schiano, and then, like, they'll just be out of their minds. They'll be all fired up. Penn State, Minnesota, it's the big 11 a.m. game. That's ABC. That is, that's cool, man. You get the ABC broadcast at 11 a.m. Good football game. Both teams unbeaten coming off of
Brunch and Gophers.
I still think that game needs to be a primetime one.
Don't disagree.
You know the primetime game is Clemson, NC State.
Well, you also have Iowa State, Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. That's the primetime ABC game.
Oh, I am aware.
So, again, how did this happen? I know that Minnesota would tell you, no, they did not opt for the 11 a.m. game. It was out of their hands. Well,
Minnesota, Penn State, and TV, all three have a say.
Who the hell decided this? Like, well, okay, cool. Let's go with Clemson, NC State then for the primetime game. It just makes no sense. Unless Penn State said, no, we'd rather play this early because it might be very, very cold in Minneapolis under the lights. Do they get the final say on this thing?
Yeah, I don't know. But Clemson favored by 32.5 should definitely be the 11 a.m.
Oh, gosh. It's awful. I'm happy because I got hockey this weekend. I would not be able to see the Minnesota-Penn State game. So I'm actually very happy
about
that.
Yeah, so what are you complaining?
No, I'm not. I just for the other college football fans that like to see a nice, tasty game, I feel like I'd much rather see Penn State-Minnesota than I would Clemson-NC State.
Yeah, the best games tomorrow are definitely early. 11 a.m. and 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Huh? I'm telling you, do not discredit TCU taking on Baylor. That's an FS1 game also at 11 a.m. Baylor's just a 2.5-point favorite. As Mark brought up, old Max and the Horned Frogs, you never know.
If he gets hurt, though, I saw that TCU's already had two quarterbacks transfer this season.
Yeah. That game is in Fort Worth, too. And they'll have a lot of people there. That'll be full. Bama-LSU's a 2:30 game. You've got Alabama at home, a 6-point favorite in that one. Texas, Kansas State is at 2:30. That's a Texas 7-point favorite. They're at Darrell K. Royal Memorial Stadium. What about Vatech Wake Forest? Did that do anything for you? It's at 2:30.
No, but that gives me a
no.
A shameless. You were
emphatic about it. No.
That gives me a shameless plug here to just randomly play. Nick, you got to hear this. Here is Virginia Tech basketball coach post game after his first game of the year.
All right, let it rip. Let it rip. Let's go. Get out of here and get something cold to drink. Y'all want to, too, you know it. That's what you expect from old guys. And he's an old guy. He's the one old guy I've got. All right, and I rely on him. He's like my buddy. Don't go anywhere, kid. The walk down there. Then my head almost exploded. Any of you guys ever see The Exorcist? You old guys did. And I felt like that. I felt that was going to happen. I looked over there one time. Bless their hearts. I've got three freshmen in their first college game. What am I doing with my life? That's it, guys. Let's get out of here. That cold drink's waiting on us. Let's go.
I didn't know Doc was at Vatech. That's great. All right, 4 o'clock hour next.